Father, we praise you for Jesus, our glorious Savior, the one who loved us so much he was willing to leave the glories of heaven and come down here and become one of us. People. And Father, we know how bad we can be. We know that it must have been trying for the Savior. Us, but Father, that love that you have for us, that he has for us, we're amazed at it. We're amazed at the mercy and how far he was willing to go to do what was necessary to pay the penalty for us. Here could be set free through faith in Christ alone, that by his finished work at Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection, salvation would be secured for every person who will put their trust in him. And Father, we thank you that we can gather as his followers, as your children, here today to glorify your name, to lift his name on high, to worship him as we remember what he did for us those many years ago at the first Christmas. We praise you, Father, for that story, and we praise you for what it means. And we pray that this hour will bring honor and glory to your name and the name of your Son. We praise you that the Spirit is here. We pray that he will work and move in each of our hearts, that we will be fertile soil, willing to receive the word, to have you move and work in our hearts. We pray that you would minister to each person's need today. Bless Pastor as he preaches. Fill him with your Spirit, and may we hear your word clear and go out and walk in it by the power of your Spirit. We commit this hour to you and give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's continue in our worship by turning to
Romans chapter 12. Very familiar portion of Scripture. It's not strictly speaking a Christmas message, but we're talking about a time to give. It's a giving time, isn't it? People are constantly talking about giving here and giving there, talking about money and resources and various things. But the Bible does talk about a time to give. And so let's look here in Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul starts, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Excuse me. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much to know that you're here and that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, that you'll draw us closer and closer to yourself and to one another. May we love you supremely, and may we love one another and walk in righteousness and truth and do your will. We think of this Christmas season, our Father, and how we rejoice to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon himself the robe of flesh and became the Son of Man. Oh, how we praise you and thank you for the salvation that we have in him. Lord, it's so wonderful to know that we are your children by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may each one of us walk in righteousness and truth before you and do your will. Give us a heart for your will and your purpose, and help us to do what is good in your sight. We just pray today, our Father, for our country. We pray that you'll undertake for us. Lord, we need you so much. We really do. You've been placed on the back burner in so many places, and Lord, we pray that you'll manifest yourself and help us to have the good sense to put you in your proper place. Lord, I pray for our government. I pray for our leaders. They might realize that you are the supreme one. And may we love you and serve you. We pray, dear Father, today, bless your word to our hearts. Speak to us and teach us what we need to know. Be with those who are going through difficult times right now. We know there's sickness all around, and we pray for those. We pray, dear Lord, that your holy will would be done. Guide and direct us and lead us. Be with our missionaries. Help those who are seeking to reach others with the gospel, that they might have the joy and privilege of seeing many come to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Romans 12. You know, Christmas is almost upon us, isn't it? How are you ready? You got everything all fixed up, all set and everything. I know the children are excited about Christmas and all the gifts and everything that are coming. And maybe some of us might be a little excited too, wondering, right? What are we going to get this year? Well, anyway, it's always good to enjoy yourself, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think, as long as you don't get carried away with all the commercial stuff, you know. You see it on television, and they always, it's all about this world and what we can get and what we, you know. What's Christmas all about? We say here, of course, we know this, and this is something, maybe we even say it too much. I don't know, but I don't think so. Christmas is about Jesus. Yeah. Isn't that a marvelous thing to think about? It's all about Him and what He has done for us, who He is. He is the salvation that we need so desperately. It's all in Him. And all the story, you've heard it so many times, and sometimes we preachers have a difficult time choosing the right message for the right time, you know, because you already know it. You can say it as well as I can, right? But at any rate, we're going to do it anyway. How about that? Huh? And rejoice in all that God is doing for us. Here we were talking about a time to give. Well, any time is a good time to give, isn't it? You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. But especially at Christmas time, we think more about giving. I get all these, what are they? Solicitations, I guess it is, from every organization on the face of the earth, practically, you know. Oh, this is a time when you have to give, right? And, hey, we're going to get double. If you want to send it in by such and such a date, hey, we get twice as much or three times as much. How about that? Huh? And we see all of that, and sometimes it tugs at our hearts, and we see these little children that are starving to death, and you've got to give them something, right? My goodness. It seems that way. And we all, I think we do. I know I do. Sometimes I get carried away with it. But at any rate, we need to remember what Christmas is really about. It's about giving, right? It's all about giving. First of all, we find God the Father gave His Son. You know? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but that's what it's all about. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. You know, that's what some people seem to think. That's all God wants to do is condemn us. No. He didn't send Jesus to condemn us, but that the world, through Him, might be saved. All He asks us to do is put our faith and trust in Him and His sacrifice for us, believing that we cannot save ourselves, but that Jesus is the Savior. That's what it's all about, isn't it? I think so. And we just recently read from Isaiah chapter 9. You remember? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There He is. In fulfillment of the prophecies, God in His great love sent Jesus to provide some redemption for us. Look with me, if you would, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Oh, it's the other way. I'm sorry. I always get that mixed up, going the wrong direction. Galatians 4, here it is. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God the Father sent His Son to redeem us from our sins, that we might be made His children. And He, to forgive us of all of our sins, He gave Himself to give us eternal life. In John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, it says this: these words spake Jesus, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See? God the Father sent the Son to redeem us from our sins. He sent that we might have eternal life in him. It's all in him. And it says in this other verse in 2 Corinthians 9, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, inexpressible gift that he's given. The word translated unspeakable occurs two times in the New Testament. God's unspeakable gift to us produces unspeakable joy in us. You know how wonderful it is when we receive Jesus as our Savior, when he becomes our Lord and Master? It gives us great joy, doesn't it? Huh? Do you have joy in your heart today? You should, because Jesus is with us to help us, and it produces joy in us. We who are sinners and deserve only judgment and eternal separation from God in hell now have eternal life with God in heaven. That's quite a contrast, isn't it? What do you think? All we have to do is put our faith and trust in him, and he will give us that everlasting life. All because of the wonderful, indescribable, unspeakable gift. The eternal Son of God came down from heaven to be born as a helpless infant, to live a humble life, and to die for our sins on the cross. Is that something we can believe? What do you think? Is that a true story? Or is it, you know, one of like many other fables, tales that have been made? No, this is true. Jesus did come. And think about that. It's really mind-boggling when you think about it. God himself from all eternity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, right? There we have it. And so, he came. The eternal Son of God came down from heaven that he might go to the cross of Calvary and die in our place. But 3 days later, what happened? He came forth from the grave, right? And now he's ascended back to heaven, and he's there interceding for us this morning. Jesus is there with the Father, and he's interceding in our behalf. What joy should fill our hearts as we celebrate his birth. You know, thinking about that, we celebrate his birth, we celebrate his life, we celebrate his death, Easter time. And all of that, it's all so important, isn't it, to think about. Jesus did all this for us. He's the greatest gift of all. And in him, we have everything we could possibly need for time and eternity. You know, it's always wonderful. A baby is something special, isn't it? What do you think? You know, when a little one comes into the world, whoever it may be. I just read this morning, I guess it's your niece, right? Her daughter just found out she's going to have a baby next summer. And they're all excited, you know. Oh, my. It's such a wonderful event, right? And you know all about it. The mothers who've had children and so forth, and the families and all of that. But how much more when we think about who this is? This is Jesus, the eternal Word of God, the eternal Son of God, who became the Son of Man for us. He didn't have to do it. He took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and became our Savior. So, God the Son gave himself. He tells us that he willingly left heaven's glory to come down to this world. In 2 Corinthians 8, I've got it here, in verse 9 it says, that I may not seem as I... Wait a minute, that's not it. What am I doing? Wait a minute. Oh, that's 9. Or 8. Here we go, Rogers. 8:9. Here it is. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You see? Jesus took upon himself poverty and restrictions, so many restrictions, so many accusations that they hurled against him. Yet he came willingly for us. And he gave his life freely for our sakes. John chapter 10 and verse 17. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Jesus willingly gave himself for us. There was no constriction upon him. And then in Titus chapter 2, here it is, in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a people for his name's sake, zealous of good works. Jesus gave himself for us. Then we find the people present at the first Christmas. We go back to Matthew and Mark, Matthew and Luke, and see there the people who were involved in the Christmas story. Mary, she gave her body to house the Son of God. She praised God with her soul and obeyed the Lord faithfully. She was willing to take on this gigantic work of raising this special child. She gave herself for that. Joseph believed the message that he received, even though it might have been strange to him. What do you think? Here he finds out that his fiancée is pregnant, and he didn't do it. He knew someone did, or some, you know, it happened, right? Here she was. And the angel spoke to him, right, in a dream. And he said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit of God supernaturally placed the seed in Mary, and now Joseph believed that. He took that upon himself, and he gave protection to the baby, to the mother, and took responsibility for their whole lives. You know, there's not a whole lot said about Joseph. Once you get through the Christmas story, we don't know what happened to him. Perhaps he didn't live to be an old age. We have about Mary and the other members of the family, but not Joseph. But here he, when danger came, he was always ready. And he obeyed God and protected his family. The shepherds gave their worship and spread the good news to others. You remember the story? They heard of the angels singing. Well, I think they were singing. Maybe they were speaking. I don't know. I'm not going to argue about that. But anyway, he heard the angels, and this one angel came and told them the story. Go to Bethlehem. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, right? And they believed. And they went. And then they told everybody they saw. Yeah. Hey, you know what happened in Bethlehem? Hey, there's a new baby. He is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. The one we've been waiting for so long. And then those wise men. Now I know certain people always make a point of it. The wise men were not at the manger, right? They came later. We don't know how much later, but it was a while. But anyway, when they did come, they gave. See? It speaks about the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all these wonderful things that were used, no doubt, for the trip to Egypt, probably, and for the necessities that they had. All of this giving, these people were willing to give. Now the question is, what will you give to the Lord Jesus? Thinking about that, have you given first of all your soul? Think of that. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, he died to save our souls, he says, right? That we might have everlasting life with God. Have you received him as your personal Savior and Lord? That's what he asks us to do, isn't it? We have to make that decision. You say, well, is that works? No, it's not works. Jesus did the work. We just acknowledge it. We just accept it. We believe it. And he says we have everlasting life, right? Because we trust in him as our Lord and our Savior and rejoice in all that he gives to us. But that's the first thing. He wants to receive us, to transform us, to make us his very own, right? To have the Holy Spirit come into our life and make us new people. Those peculiar people he speaks about, right? And he also wants our body. And here's where we get to Romans 12. You didn't think I was going to get there, did you? But I am going to get there now. And here we find, Paul says in the first verse, I beseech you, I beg you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies. Now, we know from other scriptures and what I've been quoting, that he came to save us, yes, spiritually, from our sins. But what about our lives? What about our daily walk with him? Aren't we supposed to do something? That's what he's saying here. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, all through the Old Testament, they had all kinds of sacrifices, right? They had the lambs and the bulls and all these things that they slaughtered and put on the altars. But he says, no, you present your body as a living sacrifice, day by day, in all that you do and say, may it be a living sacrifice to God. Holy. How can you be holy? You can only be holy, as we said in Sunday school, I think Kathy said, in Christ we are holy, right? In him. We have salvation and we have holiness. Holiness is a word that we don't hear very much anymore. No, you can't be holy. That's a holy roller. I remember when I grew up down in Virginia, we used to go and look at this church. They liked to dance up and down the aisles, you know. We had holy rollers, right? Here we are. But no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living holy lives. Seeking to obey the Lord and walk with him. This is a reasonable, a spiritual service that we can render to the Lord. And he says, don't be conformed to this world with all of its ungodliness, all that is going on around us, all the violence, excuse me, and so much that's going on. But he says, be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing, excuse me, of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here, he wants us to serve him and to acknowledge all that he is to us, a living sacrifice. You know, Christ did not die merely to get us into heaven. That's one thing. But he also intends for us to live for him and serve him here on earth. In order to be credible witnesses, we need to live righteously and reflect his light in a dark world. Now, there's one, a chorus says, if God so loved the world, then we should love it too, and strive to live for him. Lost sinners seek to win, that they'll be ready when he comes to earth again. Joyful will that meeting be. That's what it's all about. So we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed and seek to do God's will in all things. So see, excuse me, your service and resources here. In the church, each one of us has a certain gift he gives us. It goes on down through it here, the service that he has given to us. He says, the grace given to you, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, we all are different. We all have our own gifts. Some can do one thing and some can do something else. God has given us the abilities, but we are all to use those gifts to the glory of God and for his namesake. So it's a it says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us wait on our ministry. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, do it with simplicity. You don't need to blow the horn before you give something. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. all these things. He says, use the gifts God has given to you in the right way. So the Lord expects each one of us to use our gifts for the benefit of the whole church. That's what it's all about, isn't it? He would have made us all the same, right? We would all be stamped out. You know, we're all here we are. No, we're not. No, we're all different. And we all have our gifts that God has given to us to use for his namesake, for his glory, so that the church may prosper. You know, Christianity, as they say, is not a spectator sport. You know, we sit back and look at it and, oh, isn't that wonderful? Hey, he made a basket. No. No, it's not that. We are to get in there and do the work. Play the game. We're called to take part. And commit ourselves to Christ and his mission. So, thank God for his marvelous gift. The Lord Jesus Christ and all that we have in him. Thank the Lord also for faithful believers who are willing to give themselves and their resources for the cause of Christ. And may the Lord help each one of us to take our place, use our gifts to build up the church and bring glory to his name. Father, we thank you for your wonderful gift to us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, all that we have in him, and all the blessings of life. Lord, we have so many blessings. And I just pray today that you will encourage us and help us and strengthen us and make us where we ought to be as we look forward to Christmas, the Lord Jesus coming into this world. May we rejoice and give thanks. May we love you, serve you, and follow you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.